Well, actually, one of the thing I remember from that, I wasn't here, but I did get to most of it, was the holding pattern. That was really good. So I appreciate that example. If you weren't here, Tim is a pilot, and he likes to be on the move and be heading in the direction he's going in. And I kind of pick up, he may get a little impatient if that doesn't work out. And so sometimes if you've been on a flight, you know, sometimes you, because one reason or another, the airport's full, the weather, well, you get it in a holding pattern, and you just like, it's just like up in there, just going back and forth. And this, and he made the analogy that sometimes our lives are like that. And so, you know, sometimes it would be God's purpose, but sometimes it's our, we just are stuck. We're stuck. And so being stuck is not a good thing. Being in that kind of holding pattern is not a good thing. And so today is sort of a part of today is an answer to getting out of that holding pattern. Part of today is how do you live this life? How do you live victoriously? Let's go back real quick, though, to Romans 1. We're in the book of Romans. For those of you that haven't been here, we're kind of just, we're moving through. Not super fast, but faster than really most of us guys that teach regularly. We'd probably like to slow this down and spend a little more time, but we're really getting a little more of an overview of the book of Romans. And so just a quick reminder of the theme, it's Romans 1:17. There's kind of a double theme for Romans, and so many people, the list is long, whose lives have been changed by the whole Bible, but specifically by this book of Romans. And even more specifically, the reason I asked to teach Romans chapter 6, because Romans chapter 6 transformed my life. I was already a believer, had been a believer for a number of years, and I got stuck in a holding pattern. I landed in Romans chapter 6, and it was a good thing. I stayed there. I camped out there for years. I mean, I did other stuff, but I always went back to Romans chapter 6 because it got me out of being stuck. It gave me the experience of living victoriously. It's like that God did something in my life with Romans chapter 6. So hopefully I can share some of that with you this morning. But Romans 1:17 is the theme of Romans, and that is, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith, and he's covered it all right there. You've got to get this if you're going to get the rest of Romans. You've got to get that this great chasm separated or separates you now possibly from God. And the only way across that chasm is through Jesus, through his substitutional death. Nothing you can do. We say it every week, but let's be clear. There's nothing you can do, and there's much confusion on this, to make yourself acceptable to God. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. So, that's how we come to God. Now, there's also another statement here. The righteous will live by faith. Those that are living in grace, they're on the other side. We grow in the same way that we came to know him. And that's by faith. Now, that's a little bit of a, you say, yeah, that sounds good, but how does that really work? So we're going to look at one way that that works today. Kind of the spiritual mechanics of how you grow. Now, this is not the only way you grow that we talk about today. But it's so foundational. It's like, it's those basic things that you, if you're going to play basketball at any level, I'm not much of a basketball player, but I do know this much from hanging around with Lori, that if you're going to play basketball at any level, the best or whatever, you need to know how to dribble, you need to know how to pass, and you need to know how to shoot. There's some basic things. If you get away from those things, you're not going to be a success. So, what we're going to talk about today in chapter 6, these are the foundational things of growth. You got to get this. You got to get this. Now, there's many, many other things, important things we can talk about. But you got to get this one. And this is what changed my life, changed my heart. You can feel it, can't you? Feel what? You can feel it, right? There's an assault on your soul. Do you feel that? If you don't feel it, you're numb. There is an assault on your soul. Now, it comes from a lot of different places. But let's just quickly, one place it comes from is the world. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can think about if you have kids. If you have kids, are you like particularly teenagers, or maybe you once were a teenager and you remember this. This thing of there's this draw. It's the world. Maybe it's ambition. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's adventure. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's acceptance. Maybe what? It's this draw that draws you. And you see it more clearly in your kids, don't you? You're concerned about them. You don't want the world to get them and eat them up because it's after them. The world is after them. Now, in the same way, so I'm glad you see that with your kids. Now, go ahead and turn that back to yourself. You don't see it as clearly, but the same is true as you. The world wants you. The world wants to eat you up and spit you out, just like it wants your kids. Now, here's maturity. Maturity is that you've learned to cover it up. You've learned to not let people see that the world is the appeal, draws you, just like it does your kids. That's maturity, right? You've learned to hide it. You've learned to hide the greed, the passion, the pride. And that's maturity. Well, I'm joking about that, but some of that is true. So, the world wants you. Be assured of that. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be athletic. The world wants you. Now, it wants no good for you, but it wants you. You know who else wants you? The enemy. The enemy, our adversary. The adversary of God. Satan wants you. He has no good for you, but he really, really wants you. He wants you if you are not a believer. He wants you if you are a believer. Now, he is limited if you are a believer, but he can neutralize you if you are a believer. He wants you. He's after you. He literally wants to kill you. He's a murderer. He wants to tell you lies. He wants you to believe. He wants you. He wants you. Now, there's another element here that wants you. There were the three. The world, Satan, and, you know the other one? Self. That old nature that you have. That selfishness, that thing that wants to rebel against God, that wants to do what you want to do. Now, these other things work through that self, that old nature, that flesh. It's that thing that we've talked about this so many times that the two-year-old has that says, if you say, don't go play with those toys, go over here and play with these toys, what do they do? They want to go play with those toys that you said not to. That's the flesh, to rebel, to do what they want to do. So, you have felt this assault on your soul, haven't you? I feel it. This very day, I feel it. This thing that wants me. Now, there's another person that wants you, and that is God. And he's going to tell you, he's told us in this book of Romans, of how he works and how you can be under his control and be in fellowship with him. So what we have to say this morning is geared towards those that have crossed that chasm. Okay? Now, if you haven't crossed that chasm, if you haven't gone to the chasm, if you haven't come to a place and say, I can't make it to God, I'm not good enough, there's nothing I can do. Oh, God, accept Jesus' death in place of my own. I deserve to die. If you haven't done that yet, I hope you will. If you haven't done that, then you can just listen up and say, what's it like living over there? What's it like living with God? How does that work? If you are a believer, then you can say, this is what I'm called to. This is what I'm called to. This is what is expected of me as a believer. So, first we're going to talk about, we're going to lay out the truth of it. So you're going to have to stay with me for just a minute. The first part of this chapter 6, the truth of how the mechanics work of the Spirit-controlled, of the victorious life, of a life that grows and becomes more like Christ. And then we're going to talk about the application of that truth. And it's not up to me. It's all right here. It's just really, really simple. So there's nothing, I didn't create anything. It's just right here. We're just going to follow through chapter 6. Before we get there, I know I've told this story before, but it's been a very long since I've told this story or read about it, so I may get a few details wrong. But it's a story that Richard Wurmbrandt told. He was a prisoner back in the days of when communists were trying to take over the world and all that, and they were really assaulting believers. And he was a pastor, and he was in jail. And it was horrible, horrible, horrible situation and circumstances. There was another pastor that was there in jail too, for the same reasons that Richard Wurmbrandt was in jail. And this other guy had heard this talk about Jesus and heard this stuff and knew their background. And in desperation, he walks up, Richard Wurmbrandt had witnessed it. He walks up to this other pastor this guy who they had been in prison for years together. And he said, okay, I don't want to hear a sermon. I don't want to be preached to. I don't want to be lectured. He said, I don't know where my family is. I'm starving. I have nothing to live for. I want to just tell me, what is, you guys, I hear you talking, what is Jesus like? And in the moment of spirit-empowered boldness, I can never picture myself doing this, but he said to that man, Jesus is like me. And the guy goes, I want to know him. I want to know him. Whoa. How did this guy get to that place? In that place, how did he get to this place? A victorious living, a living like Jesus. How did that happen? I believe it happens right here in Romans chapter 6. So let's go. This will change your life. It'll change your life. Wherever you are, whatever place you're in with God. So he starts off here, and now we got to work through this. You got to work through, go through the difficult part with me. He starts off in verses. We're going to look at. You have an outline there. It's going to start off with all believers have died to sin. What in the world does that mean? Let's get into it. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? What in the world is he talking about? So. Now, all this first five chapters, you see, this thing of how we don't come to God by works. It's, you know, our sin, it's by grace, and God accepts us because of what Jesus did. And so somebody that has this works mentality may go, hey, well, then let's just do whatever we want. Let's just live how we want then. That sounds like a great religion to me. I can be accepted by God and do whatever I want. And what Paul is saying here, he anticipated they were going to say this. And he's saying, it's a silly question. It's not, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? But Paul's saying, it's a stupid question. Okay? He knows he's going to be asked this question. And people ask this question still today. He's saying, it's a silly question. You don't understand how this salvation deliverance thing works. You to trust Jesus and then go on and live any way you want is to misunderstand the cross. And you have to ask, has salvation even taken place? It's to misunderstand that salvation includes payment for sin and resurrection life, a new life. It includes that. And what he means here by die to sin, and so I want us to, we're going to learn a few words this morning, the meaning of a few words. There's about three words that are key here, baptism, sin, and death. So this first one we run into is sin. We know this. We know what sins are. We know very well what sins are, don't we? I can think of a few right now in my head. I won't mention them, but this sins. But that's not really what this is talking about. You notice it's a singular sin. What it's talking about here is the sin nature. The sin nature. That means when usually it's within context. It's context, context, context. But when it says sin singularly, that's what it usually it means. It means the Adam nature, the sin nature that we just talked about, that rebellious thing. So what he's saying here is that what has happened, and he's going to explain how and all that, but we are those who have died to sin. Now, let's talk about death. Death, like we're going to read here that our old nature was put to death. So you think, well, how could that be? That thing still, I still feel that draw. I still feel that old nature drawing me. What do you mean put to death? Well, think about what death means. Death in the Bible generally means separated. It means separated. When you die, you don't cease to exist, do you? Your body is separated from your spirit. There's a separation. When somebody dies, that person doesn't cease to exist. You're separated from them, hopefully temporarily, but you're separated from them. So that's what. So when we say that the sin nature has died, that means it's separate from you. It no longer has control over you. Let's say you work in one of those big office buildings, and there's a few companies that have offices in there. And so you work for one company, and you have a boss that you work for inside that building. And that boss has the right to, you know, stop by your office, give you a call, say, hey, this is what I want you to do today. I want you to take care of this and this and this. And you say, okay, I'll do it. I got it. Well, let's say you quit that job and you go over here to another job. And you're working for a new boss. And that old boss gives you a call, says, hey, I want you to run over here. I've got a task for you. And immediately what your emotional response is, well, okay, that's a familiar voice. That's that old boss. I'm going to do what he says. But you know what? He has no power over you. You can tell him you can tell him a lot of things, but you can tell him no. If he was kind of a jerk, you may want to say no with an exclamation point. So, no. You don't have to do what he says. He's not your boss anymore. He has been separated from you. He didn't go away and cease to exist, but he has no power over you. He's dead to you now. Some of you would like your boss to die to you, wouldn't you? I can see that. Yeah, some of those too. So there's our two. We've got sin covered. That singular sin means, and we got death covered. We'll move on to our other words in a minute. And right now we are. Then part B on your outline. All believers have been baptized into Jesus Christ. All believers. You have believed. This is you. This has happened. Whether you knew it happened or not, this happened. So follow along. Read along with me. Verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now some of you are thinking immediately, Dan getting baptized a couple weeks ago, dipping in the water. And really, that's not what this is talking about. Okay, so this baptized word, this is a Greek word, baptismos, baptisma. There's a few different forms of the word. And it's a transliterated word, which means it's just been given English spelling and English sounding and English pronunciation. So baptism in those days, the word meant, and we've talked about this a lot of times, but we're going to just to review. It meant a couple things. It meant to dip. So it's like if you were to take a cup, and there's a vat of wine, and you're serving, you could take that cup and you dip it in. It actually immerses that cup into the wine, and you dip it out. There's another way. So that's the dipping. You see why John the Baptist calls, you could say him, John the Dipper. He dipped people in the water and pulled them out. And another thing is, an element of that is, in the textile industry in this area, is that it would be like a vat of dye, and you would take, say, a white piece of wool, and you're gonna dye that royal blue, you dip it into this blue, and you come out. Now, you've dipped it in, so you have the dip element, but you also have a new element to that word, and that is, it's now identified with a new color, identification. So the different context in which this word is used is where the emphasis is on the dipping or on the identification. So in this instance, in the context here, the emphasis is not on the dipping, the emphasis is on the identification. So now with that in mind, let's keep reading to give us a little deeper understanding. Now don't you know that all of us who are baptized or identified into Christ Jesus were baptized, identified into his death? It was identified as if that was you on the cross. You being nailed to the cross. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. You can think of the dipping, but it's a different identification. You're buried into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So there it is, that live a new life part, that live victoriously, that things are different now, that you have a different attitude, you have a different way of interacting with people, you have a different purpose in life, you have a new life, new power, you have a new life. All believers, if you have believed, this spiritually happened to you. You're identified with Jesus, with his death, being crucified, so that now you don't have to pay for your sin, it's already been paid for. Death, his burial, and his resurrection to a new, powerful and victorious life. That is you. If you have believed. So all believers have this. It's a twofold death. There's a death in the punishment of sin, and there's a death or a separation of our sin nature. Get that? That your sin nature was crucified. So that's the firing of the boss. Right there. That happened. Your boss, Your sin nature has been fired. If you're listening to it, you're choosing to listen to it. You don't have to take that call. You don't have to take that call. It tells you to think this, do this, say this. You don't have to take it. Say no. So there's a power there that you did not have before. You now have this power to live a new life. Now let's go quickly. I got to give you a little bit of background here so how does this work? Why do I have this? Let's go to Romans 8:9. Just flip over real quick. We won't go into great detail. Romans 8:9 says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ," notice the interchange there, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, you could interchange all those. "Even if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." So, if you are a believer, you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, the resurrected Christ. You have a flesh, an old nature that's there in that building, but he has no control. He has no authority any longer in your life. So you got to know that if you're going to live this out. So, you have a new life. You can live victorious. You can bear fruit. You can bear fruit. You can have a love for others that you never would have thought possible. You can have joy that you should not be having. You can have peace. You can have all that. You can not be anxious. Those things are possible. Now listen, if you're not experiencing all that and everything at this very moment, there's no condemnation coming to you from me. But I'm telling you that it's possible. I'm not saying there may be a process. There may be some growth that needs to take place. But that victorious living is possible. Let's go to another verse that talks about, that condenses this a little bit for you. You see, we're moving toward... What you need to understand is that if you are a believer, this has already taken place. Do you see? Whether you understand it or whether you don't, this has already taken place. The boss has already been fired. The sins have already been paid for. You have resurrection life. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now let's go to Galatians 2:20. It's going to summarize this a little bit. Remember, we're really not talking about application. We're talking about understanding the truth, the spiritual mechanics of how this works. Okay, Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ." Why don't you read this as we read this? Personalize this, and it already is personalized for you. But you read it as if this is you. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." You see how that summarizes everything? Now, don't get carried away sometimes with this verse in the sense of the enemy can use this verse and it says, "I no longer live." And you could say, "Oh, what does that mean? I don't have my personality anymore. I can't crack jokes like I used." No, God empowers and uses your personality. It's not like you're dead, like you have to walk around like a zombie. "I'm obeying God now. I'm going to do good things." No, that's not it. If that's the way you were before, then you may still be that way. But if you were lively before, you're going to be lively still, just with the power of Christ. So, don't take that verse the wrong way. Take it for how it's meant. So you can personalize that, and you should. All right, so let's go down to part C on your outline. All believers should know that they have been crucified and raised with Christ. So, let's see. Verses 6 and 7. Did we read verse 5? I don't think we did. Let's read verse 5, and we'll go start there. "For if I have been united with him in a death like this," that cross, man, if I've been united with him in a death like this on the cross, "we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Now, sometimes you may go, "A resurrection like this, so one day my body is going to be raised." And that is true. And it does mean that. But that's not really what it means. It goes back to verse 4 where it says, "Raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life." That's the resurrection life. That is resurrection power that we live today, that we can live a new life. I don't care who you are. You notice all this truth never talked about the discipline you had. It never talked about how strong you were. It didn't talk about how intelligent you were. It didn't talk about all those things. It's saying, if you have believed, you have the spiritual mechanism in you to do this, to live like this. For we know, back in verse 6 here, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin, it's not necessarily sins, plural, the body ruled by the sin nature, the flesh, the old nature, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin, the sin nature, the flesh. We were. We no longer are. Because anyone who has died, identified, crucified, that's you, if you have believed, has been set free from sin, the sin nature. You, whether you recognize it or not, whether you live like it or not, that boss has been fired. If you're living under his rule and obeying him and taking his calls, well, you're choosing to. And if you're bearing fruit of the old nature, fruit of the old nature, or if you're if you're staying in, and I'm not talking about some kind of a chemical or medical thing, if you're staying in a discouraged and depressed state, I'm not saying you never experience these things, okay? We all do. But if you're staying there in a discouraged, depressed state, if you're staying in an anxious state, if you're staying in continual in a lustful state, if you're staying in an unhappy state, if you're staying in a dissatisfied state, if that's you, then it's like, you could come up here and stand beside me and we could talk about this. You could tell me all these things you're struggling with and all these issues, and I'm sure a lot of us could. And then I probably wouldn't do this, but since it's just hypothetical, let's run with it. I'll put my arm around you and I'll say, oh man, I am so sorry that you are reaping the fruit of your old nature, the flesh. You don't have to. You don't have to. We're going to learn how in just a minute. I'm just going to tell you now, the good news is, you don't have to. Preaching to myself, okay? I'm preaching to myself. We are separated from sin and its power. Verses 8 through 10. Now, if we died with Christ, and we believe that we also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. He has defeated death. The death he died to sin once for all. For the life he lives to God. He does not have to die again when you sin. He does not have to die again to give you victory. There's a new source of life rather than the old self. Jesus is our source of life. Let's go to a couple of verses here. John 15:5. Hang in there with me. We're almost to the application. John 15:5. I think Paul made this part short on purpose because he knew it was so important that we got this mechanics down and we quickly got the application. So we'll get to it quickly. John 15:5. And we have a new source of life. Now I am the vine, Jesus speaking here. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's the same way we came to him, it's the same way we live, by faith. The point is the connection. We've talked about this before. The branch is connected to the vine. It's good. You got the main vine, you got a branch, you have grapes, the fruit, hanging from this vine. The branch is not going, grapes, big ones. It's not doing that. You know what the branch is doing? The vine. I'm connected to the vine. It's just flowing through me. I'm just connected. I have nothing to do with that fruit out there. It's beautiful, isn't it? Come by and have some. I am just connected. You want fruit, you want love, you want joy, you want to have peace. then don't pursue those things. Pursue Jesus. Pursue connected to, abiding to, surrendered to, in relationship with Him. Him, because He is the one, and you have the Spirit of Christ in you. We read that, right? It's fact. Fact. You're a believer, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. The flow through the vine. You are just the empty channel. You don't have anything to do with it. Stay connected, you bear fruit. You're not connected, you bear a different kind of fruit. There is evidence, if you look at it, there's evidence if you are abiding, if you're walking in the Spirit. There's evidence. And there's evidence if you're not. Sorry. But there's evidence if you're not. Let's go to another verse. 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter. I want us to get this. So we're looking at it from a couple different angles. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. This is good. This is good. His divine power, we've just talked about how it works, right? You're understanding a little bit of how it works. His divine power has given us everything we need. You already have the spiritual mechanism in you. It's already there. We have been given everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. What promises? Romans chapter 6. He promises this works. Through them you may participate. We get to participate in the divine nature. We're the branch that's flowing through us. We're participating in the sap. We're enjoying it. We're getting nourished by it. We don't have anything to do with it. But you see what I'm saying? But we're depending on Him. We're relying on Him, and He does it through us. Through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Remember, the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then he goes to this crazy stuff, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge. So this, you're now in the place to grow. Now you can expect to read God's word and accept and get something from it. Now you can expect to take action towards helping someone, and it really is the right kind of action. Now you're empowered to do these things. Okay, so there we got the... And to stay in this place of connectedness, of abiding, is how you produce Canaan land fruit. You see? There's some time that takes element of growth and maturing, but you can have fruit quickly, immediately. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Okay, we see how this... What verse are we on there? 11, okay. So we're now to the application. This is how we apply. We just learned that truth, right? Now this is how we apply it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to read it in a minute. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much you know unless you take action on Romans chapter 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, one little verse, it is life-changing. Count yourself dead to sin. So, how do you put this into practice? How do you put this into practice, the not taking that call? How do you put this into practice? How do you put this into practice? It's not your sheer effort. It's not your discipline. It's not even your knowledge. It is, you reckon, another version says, you reckon it to be true. It's a financial term, that reckon the books. It's a financial. You reckon. You count on it to be true. You believe it. You believe it. That boss has been fired. But I don't feel like it because he's calling me all the time. And his voice is so familiar. And I've always done what he said. And I used to don't like him. Sometimes I kind of like him. It's like, but he has this control over me. It feels like he controls me. Well, that's how it feels. But it ain't true. Reckon. Count on it to be true. It's not true. You count on it to be true. He has no control over it. And then what? You got to go to the next count on. There's two things to believe. You're alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have resurrection life. Count on it. Believe it. How can I overcome this thing? This thing that's always on me. How can I overcome this attitude? How can I overcome this emotion? How can I do this task he's put in front of me? Well, it's by faith. You believe, You have resurrection life. You believe that old boss has no control over you. You believe you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you have power to do it. You know, can I just tell you a way that I just put this into practice? Just, I don't know why I remember this particular time, but it stands out to me. Believe it or not, Lori and I had an argument. I know y'all do. It was not whether I was going to program burpees or not, but or lunges. I don't remember what it was. That's the way it is. There's things that were so important at the moment, I don't even remember what it was. But we had this argument. And I was mad. I was mad at her. I didn't like her very much. And I wouldn't admit this at the time, but I kind of wanted to stay mad for a little while at least, so that she could know how bad she had treated me. So I think I'll stay mad for a little while. You know this thing, thought, you ever think things all the way through? Like, if I think this all the way through, okay, if I could stay, what's the difference if I stay mad for a little while? I might as well stay mad forever. If I stay mad for forever, why should I even be married to her? So I might as well get a divorce. And what, I don't even know what I was mad at, you know, but it makes no sense to stay mad in a human terms, but I still was mad. And how do you, I could not overcome it. It's like, and I'd been reading this. And so I was like, what, this isn't working. I'm so mad. What am I supposed to do? And I hear steps coming. Lori's going to come in the room, and I don't really want to see her. I don't want to talk to her. I'm mad at her, you know. But am I going to stay mad forever? Or is this stuff work? Is it true? And the thing came to me, believe it. Believe it. Yeah, there's action to take in the power of the Holy Spirit. Believe it. Love her. Treat her as you love her. Right? I believe it. I believe you. I'll take action. I did, and I wasn't mad. Did I overcome that mad? Did I overcome it? You know I didn't, don't you? You know I did not. I did not. I did not. But I was dead to self in that moment. I knew the boss. That boss was fired. I knew it. He had no power over me. I did not have to submit to him. I had resurrection life. Jesus life. For a moment, I looked like Jesus. For a moment, I looked like Jesus. Yeah. And she walked in and said, Jesus! That's not what she said. Never mind. Why did I call on you? You stay out of this. It does. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get out of this topic. Let's move on. We're in verse 12 now. But I do want you to see verse 11. Verse 11. You know what? You know, I'm not saying that it has to be this way forever, but if this strikes, resonates with you, maybe you want to memorize this and use it for a while. There's two promises there. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. I believe it. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. And then, let's go on, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. It's going back to the same thing, but let's just quickly look at this. Reign, that means to exercise kingly power. So you stop allowing the sin nature to reign as king in your body. You stop it. How can I tell you to stop it? If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, I'm not talking to you in this instance because you can't stop it. It's going to reign. But as a believer, you can, and it's not just obvious sin. It's attitude, it's venting, it's complaining, it's whining, it's in the letting yourself go down, 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 instead of reckon it to be true, that that has no power over you. You know what else it is? Listen to this. This is what we struggle with too. It is surrender. It is surrender. It is surrendering control. You may have been a Christian 20 years and you still haven't really dealt with this issue. You may do a lot of good things and you may be mature. You know how to cover these things up. But to surrender the reign and the throne of your life to boot the old boss, because you have the power to. Boot the old boss, the self, because you have the power to. And let Christ reign, because He lives in you. He lives in you. The King of the universe lives in you. He just wants to reign in your life. And you can do it. You can surrender to Him. What's that first thing that popped in your mind you don't want to surrender? That might be the thing you need to surrender. That you need to let go. Put your trust in Him. And let Him reign in your life. Let's go to... be very leery. Listen, be very leery of the lie of other answers to your sin problem and your lack of fruit. We squirm off the cross. Don't go that route. Don't go that route. Deal with it. Deal with it. Let self be crucified. Get self off. Let Christ reign. Surrender. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, after much failure or maybe much stubbornness, our tendency is to say, that's just who I am. It doesn't have to just be who you are. Maybe you just need to quit saying that to yourself. That's just who I am. It's not who you are. No longer is it who you are. It should be like Jesus. You should be looking more and more like Jesus. Know you are. Count on it. Don't allow the old nature to reign. If Christ is not reigning, you know, here's one. If Christ is not reigning right now in your heart, if Christ is not reigning in your life right now, do you know who is? Self. Okay? You don't get that boat. You don't get that boat. If Christ is not reigning, self is at every moment of your day. He wants to reign, and He can. So let's look at some verses. Let's just read through these. Look these up with me as we go. And just let the Word speak to us here. But Jesus is your master by the Holy Spirit, and He produces fruit. This is much more than just resisting sin. This is abiding in Christ, staying connected. Okay, so let's go. Stay in Galatians there. Let's go keep from verse 16. Let's go to 17, and then we'll go down to 22. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And then let's go down to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of self not being on the throne, the result of Jesus reigning in your heart, the result of being connected to the vine, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that stuff we just talked about, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is how the mechanics of the Spirit-controlled life works. We looked at truth. And then we looked at that truth, and with one verse, we looked at application. That's chapter 6, verse 11. So, as we have a, do we have a closing song, guys? Can we? Cool. I like that. Let's have a closing song, because I don't want to just run out, okay? I think we're okay on time. I want us to... Okay, so, I thought you were telling me, no, we're done. Christian, are we done? All right, okay, all right. So what I want you to ask, whatever song they pick to choose, they choose to sing, it's fine. But let's open your Bible to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. And I want you to take a minute as we close in this song. You know, and I want you to believe. Practice while we're here, while we just talked about it. Practice believing. So believe that you are dead to sin. Acknowledge that boss has been fired. He has no authority. And then believe that you have resurrection life. You have new life. You have the life of Christ in you. Believe it. I'm not asking you to do anything. I just believe. Believe those two things. Read that verse as we sing. Just read it to yourself and believe those two things.